This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Progress.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom aleichem, bruchim habayim. We're continuing in Daf Hashavua. We're learning Maseches Ksuvos Daf Ayin. Why Daf Ayin? Because Chodesh Teves was created with the letter Ayin. So we have to be mechazek Chodesh Teves. And also the reason we're learning Daf Ayin is because that's where we're up to. You know, it's a coincidence that we happen to be up to Daf Ayin. That's why we're learning it. Okay, good to see everybody. And we're continuing in the subject of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hames. The opinion of Rav Meir is Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hames. It's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of someone who is dying. The Gemara is discussing that if a father said, give my sons a shekel, and really they should, their living expenses require that they get a selah. So the halacha is you give them a selah. And earlier, the Braisa said that if the father says, only give them a shekel, then we only give them a shekel. And then the Braisa said, if the father said, and if they die, I want other people to inherit them, whether he said, give them a shekel, or he said, only give them a shekel, we only give them a shekel, because clearly, the father's wish is that there should be a remnant after the sons are finished with it, and other people should inherit it. The logic, the underlying logic behind this all, is mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. We want to fulfill the wishes of a father, of a person who is dying. So, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, Rav Chisda said the name of Mar Ukva, Hilchasa. The halacha is not like what we just learned. Bain sha'amar tnu, whether the father said, give him a shekel. Ubain sha'amar, or whether he said, al titnu, don't only give him a shekel. Whether he said, give him a shekel, or whether he made it more emphatic, only give him a shekel, we don't listen. We give him a selah. We give the child a selah. Noisim loy kol tzarchan. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? But hakai malan halacha krameir, damar mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames? Don't we paskin like the teaching of Rav Meir that there's a mitzvah to fulfill the word of someone who's dying? So why do we ignore what the father is saying, even if he says, only give a shekel? Why do we not follow that? Why do we give a full selah? Isn't the halacha like Rav Meir, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, says the Gemara, Hanimili b'mila achronisa. That's in other matters. Aval b'ha, but when it comes to this, meinach nichalei, it is pleasing for the father that the children get their full living expenses. But if that's the case, why did the father say, give them a shekel? V'ha da amar hachi, the reason the father said only give a shekel is Lazaru Zinhu, to energize them, to be mezariz them, to inject them with energy, to be industrious, not to to try to save the money. The reason the father said only give them a shekel when their living expenses were more is not because he really only wants them to have a shekel. It's that he doesn't want them to waste money. So he says, look, only give them a small amount. He's not trying to deprive them of anything. He just wants them to try to save as much as possible. So real. It doesn't. In that case, this logic would not apply. Okay, so it's only if the father said "tenu shekel" or "al titnu ella shekel," then we don't listen to the father, because then we say he really wants them to have a selah. He said this lizruze. But if he said, and if they die, I want others to inherit them, then this logic of v'hadamar hachi lezarzunuhu da'asa does not apply. Okay, so you're right. It doesn't apply in that case. Okay. Tanan hasam. We learned in a mission over there. Ha-pu'utais. Pu'utais are children 8 or 9 years old. When do we have them? We talk about them in Mesech de Gittin, in Perek HaNizakin. Okay? Pu'utais is an age of 8 or 9, where a child has a certain measure of development, and the Chachamim are Mesakein, Mekchan Mekach, Umemkar Memkar. Their purchase is a purchase, their sale is a sale. Even though Midaraisa, the transactions of a Katan are meaningless, the Chachamim didn't want children to be in a situation where they can't get what they need to live, so they allow their transactions to be valid. And that's the age of Pu'utais, 8 or 9. B'metaltim, but that's only by movables. But by karka, then they have no right of transaction until they bring shtei sarais. Fine. Amar Rafram. Rafram said, this takana that the Chachamim made, that ketanim could make transactions on metaltilin, leishanu ela she'en sham apotropis. That's only if there is no guardian. Aval yesham apotropis, if there's a guardian who's tending to their estate, ein mekhan mekach, ein memkar memkar. Their purchase is not a purchase, their sale is not a sale. Really, inherently, a katan should not be able to make any transaction. The only reason to make a transaction is for the katan to be able to get what he needs. But if he has a guardian who's going to be taking care of their estate, then katan can't make a transaction even in metaltan. Okay. The yesham apotropos ein mekhan mekach, ein memkar memkar. Says the Gemara Mimai. How do we know this? Midiktani, from the fact that it teaches Ein Masa Ketana Klum. From the fact that the Mishnah says that the act of a Ketana is meaningless. Right? The way the Mishnah was read, the way we understood the Mishnah, is that someone who gave a shlish money for his daughter to buy a field, and the ketana says, no, Mr. Shlish, I don't want you to buy the field. Let my husband do it. So the halacha is, the Mishnah says, Ein ma'ase ketana klum. The act of a ketana is meaningless. Meaning, the shlish should do what he was appointed to do. So what do we see there? We see that the act of a ketana is nothing when there is a apotropis. What do you mean? But didn't we just said that hapu'utais mekhan mekach umemkaran memkar? So we have a raya from the Mishnah. Midiktani ein masa ketana klum, from the fact that the Mishnah says the act of a ketana is nothing. So we see that when there's an overseer, a trustee, the halacha is that the act of a ketana is nothing. It's only, she can only make an acquisition when there is no trustee. So Gemara says it's not a raya. There's a difference between a shlish and an apotropis. V'dilma heicha de'ika shlishani. Maybe where there's this trustee, it's different. Because what would the difference between a shlish and an apotropos be? The shlish was specifically tasked with this job. But the apotropos is only there to do what the yusamim want. So maybe a shlish does not listen to the ketana, or because the shlish was specifically appointed to do what the father said, as opposed to an apotropos who's there to do what's in best interest of the children, so they're telling you what they want. Meaning, maybe there's a distinction between a shlish and apotropos. Maybe in the Mishnah, when there's a shlish, then we ignore the ketana, because there the shlish is specifically given the task of buying the field. But maybe if the apotropos is just there for the general overall welfare of the ketana, maybe we do listen to the ketana. Says Gemara, no. The language of the Mishnah indicates that it's not because there's a shlish, but because in general, the act of a ketana is not valid when anyone's there. Says Gemara, imkein lisni, otherwise it should have said aval b'ketana, if she's a ketana, yasa shlish mashahushas b'yaday. The shlish should do what he was appointed. But it doesn't say that language. It says, aval b'ketana, ein ma'aseh ketana klum. says Vayiktana, her act is nothing. Shma mina. So from here we see afilu ba'alma, even in general. Not only when there's a shlish, but even when there's an apotropis, which is somewhat like a shlish, we would apply the rule of ein masa ketana klum. Hadrin alach mitzias ha'isha. Okay, mazel tov. Really, we should rent out MetLife Stadium, but it's very cold right now. Well, maybe a different time. Okay, now let's begin the next parak. Parak hamadir. Ashreichem, that you're zoicha to learn Parak HaMadir. Parak HaMadir is one of the most lamdasha prakim in all of Shas. Be'emes. It's really, it's an amazing parak. A lot of the lamdasha Torah of the Shev Shmaitza is on this parak. Here we go. B'siyata Shmaya. HaMadir Sishtai. One who makes a neder against his wife, Mila Hanuslai, from her getting Hanaf from him. So basically, the guy says, he takes a neder, that his wife can't get hana from him. So what does that mean? Does that mean that tashmish is asr? Rashi says not at all. Because his tashmish is not asr to her. He's already meshubit to her. He signed the document that he's going to provide her with her needs. So when he says he's not going to give her hana, it doesn't mean that now he is usher, she's usher to have tashmish with him, because he's already meshubit to her for that. So we're not going to force him to divorce her, because this neder is not limiting him from living with her. The only thing it's doing is, it's ushering him from providing her her sustenance, which you can ask the same question. Isn't he contractually obligated to support her? And to that we'll see, there are ways out of it. He could say, well, you have a good job, keep your wages, and I'm not supporting you. But in general, this is a very difficult situation, because how long could he stay in a state where he's not going to be supporting his wife? So halacha is like this, Ad lamed yom yamed parnes, up to 30 days, you appoint a go-between to support her. And the Gemara will explain, well, what do you mean to support her? But he says he can't give her hana. So the fact that the go-between is supporting her, how does that make it any better? So you appoint up to 30 days, you appoint a parnes, a go-between to support her. Yes, or mekain, more than 30 days, yoitzi, you divorce her, v'yitang ksuba. And she is awarded the ksuba. Rabbi Huda says, no, it depends. It depends whether he's a Yisrael or he's a Kayin. You see, if he's a Yisrael, okay, he divorces her, he could always take her back. If he's a Kayin, if he divorces her, he can't take her back. So we have to be more careful before we tell a Kayin, okay, divorce your wife. So Yehuda says, be Yisrael, chodesh echad yikayim. If it's for 1 month, he could keep her. Ushnaim, if the nether is for 2 months, yoitzi divorces everything ksuba, and he gives a ksuba. But Kayin, if he's a kohen, shnayim yikayim. If it's for 2 months, he could keep her. Ushloisha yoytzi v'yitein ksuba. And for 3 months, he divorces her and gives her a ksuba. So this is talking about where he takes a neder that his wife can't get hana from him, which means that he is not supporting her. The Mishnah continues. Hamadir sishtei, one who, we'll see what this means, takes a neder against his wife, shalaititam echad mikala peiros, that she's not to taste one type of fruit, star fruit, grapes, mango. So the question is, what do you mean he takes a neder that she can't eat it? You can't answer someone else in a neder. You can't say, I make a neder that you can't eat. It means she took a neder. And normally when a woman takes a neder, the husband has the right to be made for the nether, to annul it. But if he's mekayim the nether, if he validates it, he can never annul it. So she took the nether and he validated it. Now he can't annul it. So the halacha is, he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Rabbi Huda says, no, we can't say this, let's say, by a kayin. Rabbi Huda Omer, B'Yisrael yoyim echad yikayim shnayim yoytzi v'yitein k'suba, for one day that the neder is in effect, so then he could keep her, and if it's in effect for 2 days, he has to divorce her and give her the k'suba. U'v'koyin a'koyin shnayim, for 2 days yikayim he could keep her, shloisha 3 days yoytzi v'yitein k'suba. What if Hamadr Sisha Shlitiskash Rachmikal Minim? One who made a nether, he answered his wife in a nether that she can't use a certain type of perfume. So again, the case is she took the nether and he was Makayimit. So Yoitzi Vitin Ksuba, he divorces her and he gives her a Ksuba. Rabbi Yoisi Omer Rabbi Yoisi says, and this time it's Rabbi Yoisi and not Rabbi Yehuda, Ba'aniyois Shalainasan Kitzva. If it's a poor woman, if you didn't put an end to it, then you would have to divorce her. But by a wealthy woman, then if you asked her 30 days, then you have to divorce her. Rashi says, "Ba'aniyos shalai nasan kitzva." A poor woman, if you didn't put an amount, how long it's aser, that's when you have to give a ksuba. But if you put a kitzba, then you wait until that amount of time. But by a wealthy woman, it's 30 days. Okay. Zak the Gemara. How could a man take a neder that he's not going to give his wife hana, but isn't he meshubit to her to support her? V'kivin the meshubit la, since he is contractually obligated, he has a shibud to support her. Hechi matzi mader la, how could he take a neder that he's not going to support her? He's not going to give her hana. Kol kamine, does he have the power, the mifkale la shibudai, to be mafkia the shibud? Aye, but v'hatanan, we know, we learned in a Mishnah, koinam she'ini oisil l'picha, if a woman takes a neder that I'm not going to give you my masi adayim, you don't have to annul it, because it's not chal, because she has to give him the masi adayim. So we see that whenever you make a neder on something that someone has a contractual obligation to fulfill, the neder is not chal. So the same way neder is not chal, if a woman says, I'm not going to give you my wages, so why is the neder chal if the man says, I'm not going to support my wife? He's obligated to support his wife from the ksuba. The ksuba says, you got to obligate your wife. Even though I know some people, they read the ksuba, it says, ana eflach, it says, I'm going to work, but farness, I'm going to support. So some people, they think it's like lashon bitmiya, ana eflach. You think I'm going to work? Ana oikir. No, but it's not like lashon bitmiya. It's not a rashi. Some people joke, they think that they read it like a rashi. No, it's a statement. Ana eflach, I'm going to work. V'oizen, I'm going to feed you, va'oika, I'm going to honor you. So, the same way she can't make a nether not to give him the handiwork, he shouldn't be able to make a nether not to feed her. Alma, we see, kim de meshabdalai, since she's meshubatim lav kol kamina de mefgala shibude, she doesn't have the power to uproot the shibud. Hachanami here too, kim de meshubala, he's meshubat to her, lav kol kamina de mefgala shibuda. She doesn't have the power to uproot the shibud. Says Gemara, no, he can. Since he's able to say to her, you know what? I'm not supporting you. Let your wages go for your mezainos. I have to get the next four-blot pamphlet. So nase koimerla, it becomes like he says to her when he makes a neder that I'm not going to give you hana. It, since he could say, "Let your handiwork go for your mezainos," it becomes as if he said to her, "Tsei masi adecha b'mezainosecha, let your wages go for your food." So that's the situation of Hamadr's Ishtam al-Hanuslai, where you made a neder that you're not going to give hanot to your wife, aren't you obligated, you're contractually obligated to feed her? No, but the way you could get around it is by saying, you keep your wages for your food, and this way the nether is chal. Okay, everyone, thank you for coming. Have a great night.
Recording stopped.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.